Grace and peace to you from our God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible uses a number of different styles of writing, poetry, prose, parable, and even pun. There's often a play on words for the purpose of making a point. For example, take Saul, who became Paul. There was another Saul, the first king of Israel in the Old Testament. He was strong, handsome, a man who literally stood a head and shoulders above everyone else. The Saul in the New Testament was also known as Paul, which is from the Latin word meaning small. It is not clear from the Bible whether Saul was also Paul from his childhood in Tyrus, in the not what is southern Turkey, which was then a Roman colony, or if he was given the name Paul later in life, perhaps because of his small physique structure, or if he gave himself the nickname Paul after he became a Christian. He was obsessive in the efforts to destroy the followers of Jesus. The Pharisees loved him, the Christians feared him. But then came his conversion on the road from Jerusalem to Damascus, when he was the only one on his way to persecute more Christians. Jesus appeared to Saul in a dazzling light and spoke to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul believed and was baptized, later became known as Paul, which means little. What incredible about face for this man, his life, and the lives of those he touched with God's grace would never be the same. We Lutherans traditionally have not been comfortable with emotional spiritual experiences or conversation. Our confessional German forefathers dismissed such claims as more as euthysium. However, there are people within our churches who came to faith as adults or who fell away from faith and then came back to faith, and those who remember those spiritual conversations experiences as also Paul did. There are some those among us who lives and made a spiritual about face. At one time, there were drifting along without much purpose and meaning in life. Then something happens, perhaps a death, an accident, or an illness, or something far less traumatic than that. And then they discover, through the working of the Holy Spirit in their heart, that the life and love of Jesus was missing in their lives. Some of us may never had such a spiritual experience. If so, that makes it all the more important for us to take frequent spiritual inventory of our lives. Is our faith growing and showing? Or have we settled into a complacent, contentable level of faith? Are we satisfied with our relationship with Jesus? Is our prayer life where it should be? Our worship, our stewardship of money, or other areas of ministry? Is it time or even past time for our lives of faith to make about face for the spiritual energy to flow through us? As a fellow struggler, I am keen and aware and fearful of how easily our faith is allowed to drift along, stagnant and spiritualist, mere and myriad of life's problems and preoccupations. Our faith is also seen by others as a dead pan face, emotionless and expressionless. For those persons who are in the mood and the market for a spiritual outfit, consider these ingredients. First of all, look into your own face and see the need for repentance and renewal. After Jesus appeared to Saul, Saul spent the next 3 days of his blindness taking spiritual inventory of his life. It is imperative that we also take a hard, honest look at ourselves and reflect where we have been and where we are now in our faithless lives and faithfulness to God's word as well, as we know what that God wants us to be. Second, look in the face of Jesus. See grace, mercy, and forgiveness, and love. No longer are we consumed with me, my needs, my fear, my dreams. The love of Jesus now controls us, and the sense of happy humility fills our lives. Proud Saul became humble Paul because he was led to realize and confess that God had set him apart and called him through his grace. God's grace was unleashed at Calvary's cross and Easter's open tomb. Paul wrote, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Neither the law nor his own achievement or zeal, but grace, God's love through Jesus for undeserving sinners, restored Paul and restores us to dignity, courage, and purpose. Third, look into the face of the scriptures, the word of God. Our text says Paul's having understood the need for repentance and renewal through the work of our Holy Spirit, having coming to faith in Jesus as Savior. Paul then spent the next 3 years with the word. He had to think, he had to pray, and he had to ponder all the things that happened in his life. And mostly, he had time to grow his newfound faith through the study of God's word. Faith needs to grow. Christians need to mature spiritually. There is no better way for that to happen than through diligent, faithful study of the word and learning more and more about Jesus and his will. How he responds to a particular situation. What would we say to a neighbor when he would speak and when he would simply listen? The fourth ingredient in our spiritual about face is to look in the faces around us and see their needs, their fears, their spiritual vacuum. Undoubtedly, the face of Stephen haunted Paul as Paul recalled how he stood by in approval of Stephen was also stoned to death for preaching the good news about Jesus. How could Paul ever amend for that great wrong he condoned? Could he do it through previous words, public confession, or a guilt-ridden soul? Or what would happen through the compelling ministry of God's word? As Stephen had begun, a spiritual about-face that looks inward and upward, but also outward. Humble Paul became an evangelism of unparalleled proportions. His zeal charted a new course. The world became his parish. The love of Jesus became his message and ministry. His spiritual about-face was complete only when he wanted to reach out to the desperate, dying world. At the end of our worship service today, we sing, "If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all." We all know people who are hurting, seeking lonely or lost. People who need to hear about the love of Jesus. We live with them or are next to them. We work with them. We socialize with them. May God use to share with them the life-giving message of Jesus and his salvation. The last words of our reading are the highest part of compliment for a Christian and our noblest goal. Paul writes, "They were praising God for what had happened to me. You and I are instruments of God's of Jesus for sharing his love with these people who need to hear it." At the end of our life, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit working through us, what a thrill it will be for us to say, "They were praising God for what happened to me." May God grant it. Amen. We now continue service reading the Apostles' Creed. Maker of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. At this time, our offerings to our Lord.